Good evening. I hope you're all well.
Kodesh Tov. Please join me in saying the Ana B'Koach. Ana B'Koach, Gedula Chemincha, Tatir Tzerura. Aleph Bet Gimel, Yutaf Tzadik. These six letters have a gematria, a numerical value of 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu nora kufre shayan sintet nun. These six letters form two Hebrew words, kra, satan, and it translates as tear up the satan. It can be rearranged to spell two other Hebrew words, Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates. And it's a reminder to protect ourselves by guarding our small gates, our eyes, our ears, our nose, and our mouth from the attacks and the entry point, from the negative side, from the Satan trying to enter in and affect our decisions and our processes. Na gibor dorshe yechudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalad yud kaf shin. Nun gimel dalad is a sequence as a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, which means sustenance. Sustenance represents the fulfillment of all of our desires. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence of letters that allows us to take back the energy we've given to the other side through our mistakes. This verse, the third verse, is the verse for the month of Nisan, which we entered in last night. The He is the letter that created the constellation, which is the Tale, the constellation Tale, which is the lamb or ram. And the Dalet is the letter that created the planet Ma'adim, the planet Mars, the planet of war. And all battles will be decided during the month of Nisan, which is why the Hebrew holiday of Pesach, where we limit our desire to receive for oneself alone by limiting our access to chametz, which is part of the ritual and part of what we will be discussing tonight. Hashem tacharem rachamei sidkatcha tamid gamlem. Betet resh tzadi taf gimel. Chasin kadosh b'rov tufa na'el adatach. Chet kuf bet tet nunayin. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokre kedushatach. Yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf. These six letters form a sequence that we can utilize to help speed the spread of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziakatenu yodea talumot shin kufav tzadi yutaf. These six letters the last four letters have a gematria of 506, just as the first letters, the first verse has. It connects us to unconditional love. The first two letters, the Shin and Kuf, have a gematria of 400, which represents the four worlds in their perfection of 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. And this comes to teach us that the creative process starts with love, proceeds step by step only with love, and ends with love. And with the injection of love, it actually never ends. In the last verse, we say in a whisper, which we refer to as silently. It should be said at such a level that only your ears are able to hear it. I will say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vayed. I will now read from the Zohar a verse to bring in the energy of the Zohar. I'm reading a verse from the Parasha of Vayikra, which we will be reading this Shabbat. It's from section 4, The Flowers Appear on the Earth. It's verse 45. Vayhi noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh adeinu kunaneh aleinu maaseh adeinu kunanehu. Vasi ifra diagata amar kol hator da Torah sheba alpe de Torah debiktav ikre Torah sitam Torah sheba alpe ikre tor kada'a vayiker vayikra da shalimu v'dalav haki v'ana okimna kima de'itmar v'haki ihu. In the book of Agadah, it states that the voice of the turtle dove, the Hebrew word is tor, refers to the oral Torah, which is malchut, for the written Torah, which is Zeranpin, is simply called Torah. The oral Torah is called Tor. As you say, the variants Vayiker and Vayikra, where Vayikra implies perfection, while Vayiker does not. So Torah too is perfection, which is Zeranpin, and Tor is Malchut, which is not as perfect as he. I have explained it as I stated, and so it is. In the Talmud, there are sections of Halakha and sections of Agadah. Agadah is a term meaning parables or stories, and it gives us insights and metaphors. But sometimes it's very hard to understand the insights we're supposed to receive by reading a story, and understand, we may understand a story one way and it's meant to be understood in many different ways. The Torah has two parts. The written Torah, which is the scroll, which is considered relative to each other as they're on pin, the level. And the written Torah, the Talmud, is called Tor in this verse in the Zohar. And it's explaining that it's Malchut. Both aspects to be united. Both aspects, in addition to being united, relate to each other. And understanding this relationship is very much part of the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's part of what Kabbalah teaches. The word Tor and the word Torah just have one letter difference. That is the He, the final He of Torah. The Tor is in the final He of the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. And so the oral Torah is manifesting within the Malchut. And this verse is teaching us that the oral Torah is not as complete as the written Torah. It is not as perfect, which means that we may not understand the oral Torah properly. We must always be careful of that. Before I start tonight's class, which will be teaching some more about the month of Nisan and teaching some more about Pesach, does anybody have any questions? Okay, well, I did get one question from one of the students asking when the Omer begins. And while I don't think I want to talk about the Omer tonight, I don't think we'll get to it. The Omer begins the second night of Pesach, which is the evening of the 29th of March. And it runs for 50 days. I will be talking about the Omer next week. So last week we began to talk about Pesach and preparation for Pesach, which is searching for chametz. And that's a physical action that is really supposed to motivate our consciousness to search our own actions for minimizing our egos, for eliminating our ego, for keeping our ego in control. Because the whole idea of freedom, there is only one battle, and the month of Nisan is the month of battles. There is only one battle that ever takes place. We'll see it as different wars and different battles and different conflicts with different people. But it's really just one battle, and that's the desire to receive for oneself alone and transforming that into the desire to receive in order to share. The month of Nisan is spelled Nun Yud Samech Nun, Nun Sofit. In the Torah, there is a unique place in the book of Bamidbar, in the book of Numbers, where two or three verses, I don't remember, are separated by two upside-down nuns. And in those verses, it's what we say when we open the ark every Shabbat to get the Torah. What we are saying has to do with the two nuns. And the Yud and the Samech, the middle two letters of Nisan, has a gematria of 70, which is the same gematria as the word Sod, or secret, or Kabbalah. And the secret of the nuns is about winning the battles, meaning winning the battle, to transform our desire to receive for oneself alone into the desire to receive in order to share. We start by searching for chametz. We start by doing the ritual every day, starting this morning and for the next 12 days, making connections to certain verses in the Torah and certain letters of the Hebrew alphabet for each day that helps us take our winning the battle into each month of the year. Because each month of the year is a potential cleansing in a different aspect. So Nisan, we are cleansing battles and wars. In Iyar, we are cleansing issues about being at home and being comfortable. And in Sivan, we are cleansing battles having to do with our spiritual and physical levels. And each month has its own unique aspect that is a cleansing opportunity for every person. That's why we can literally complete our correction, our tikkun, in 1 year. Because if we achieve that correction in each of those 12 months of that year, we will have completed our correction for our lifetime. But Hashem in His mercy knows that that's extremely difficult. So He gives us a lifetime of 190 years, 300 years, depends on your consciousness and what you want to achieve. So the Seder comes on the night of the 14th of Pesach. The Seder was actually, or is actually, the control of the lamb, of the ram. The ram is the most negative animal on earth. Now that's a very strong statement, and my teacher didn't understand that statement when he heard it from his teacher, and also when we read it in the Zohar. The ram was the god, or one of the many gods, but one of the strongest gods of Egypt. The ram is a negative animal. But what makes it such a negative animal? If you go to the zoo, you'll find these little lovable lambs eating out of your hand. What makes the ram so negative? My teacher didn't understand this, and he did an experiment to prove to himself what it was about. So he went to the zoo, and he watched the lambs in their cages. And he didn't see anything negative until their food was brought. And when the keepers brought in their food, each lamb was given a dish, had its own food, and they proceeded to start eating. And then my teacher observed one lamb, looked up, saw another lamb eating its food at its dish, and ran over and butted it away from its dish. And when that ram left to go somewhere else because he couldn't eat that he was being butted away, you would think that the lamb wanted that dish and so would stay around and eat from that dish. But the answer is no. The lamb went back to his own dish. In essence, he was saying, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine, and even if I don't need it, I don't want you to have it. Total desire to receive for oneself alone. And that's why the Zohar says that the ram, which is the taleh, which is the energy of the month of Nisan. It's why the Zohar is teaching us that we must be extremely careful during this period, because this is when wars are won, but also lost. This is when battles will come into play. The largest, biggest family squabbles take place at the Seder table. You can attribute it to that everybody's hungry. You can attribute it to all the different aspects of why families argue. But the truth is, it's the energy of the month that is affecting people. And people are not aware of it. And they choose to be reactive, instead of realizing that they can stop their reactions and transform their desire to receive for oneself alone into the desire to receive in order to share. This is what Pesach is all about. The search for the Chametz and leading up to the Seder itself is about learning to control our desire to receive for oneself alone. The Seder, which means order in Hebrew, is a ritual designed to put in place a protection shield against our own selfishness.
It's very hard to understand how that works, but it works.
The Seder consists of 15 steps. The Seder consists of 14 steps. How can that be? There are certain Haggadahs. Haggadot is the plural in Hebrew. Haggadah is a word in Hebrew that means the book we read on the Seder nights. And that book is called Haggadah. And Haggadah means story. And we tell the story of the Exodus. We tell the story of the redemption. What is the difference between the Exodus and the redemption? We did an Exodus. We left Egypt. Remember, the word Egypt, Mitzrayim in Hebrew, comes from the Shoresh that means narrow, limited. In some sense, it's our physical world which limits us because we are designed to live in the spiritual world as well as the physical. Our body lives in the physical. Our soul is supposed to live in the spiritual. And we are to learn to be in both places at the same time. Our body, the consciousness of our body, limits the soul's ability to be in the spiritual. And that battle takes place and is won or lost by virtue of the Seder. Now, not everybody participates in the Seder. In the time of the temple, only Jewish people were allowed to participate in what's called the Paschal Sacrifice. The Paschal Sacrifice was literally on the 10th day of Nisan, the male head of household would take a lamb and control it. He would control it for 4 days. He would take, own it, buy it, own it, control it. He took it into his house. The lamb lived in his house for 4 days while he controlled this truly negative animal, his own desire to receive for oneself alone. And then he would take it to the Kohen along with all of the other Jewish males and families, because everybody went for Pesach. It was one of the three holidays that the males needed to appear at the temple, but the families came with them. And people would go and participate in the Paschal Sacrifice. They would take these lambs that they had controlled for the last 4 days and bring them to the Kohen to be sacrificed, to be slaughtered in the ritual manner, in the kosher manner. And then they would proceed to eat this desire to receive for oneself alone. And in so doing, it ultimately controlled it. Now we, through our sins, through our wrong actions, we lack the temple in our day. We don't have the ability to do a Paschal Sacrifice. But when we study it, we do. When we read the Haggadah on the Seder night, we do have the ability to do the Paschal Sacrifice. We do not have to do a physical animal, because the physical animal is within us. It's our own desire to receive for oneself alone. And by participating in a Seder, by reading the Haggadah, by studying it, which means to read it, but it also different levels, understanding these stories, these agadot, these parables, we learn and are putting in place a protection shield to help us transform our desire to receive for oneself alone into the desire to receive in order to share. The first night of the Seder, the light of the Torah is revealed. That night was a redemption from Egypt. Redemption means that something outside of you takes you and redeems you, takes you and elevates you. Something outside of you is the acting force. The Exodus is a description of that leaving the narrowness. There are 50 places in the Torah, 50 verses, where the Exodus is mentioned. It's an excellent idea to read those 50 verses, study those 50 verses, understand how they differ from each other, where they are in context. The more one studies of these verses, especially the night of Passover, the night where the light came for free, there is no bread of shame this one night of the year. On this night, we, as the people who left Egypt, we, as the people who are leaving Egypt tonight, the night of the Seder, we have this ability where something outside of us that we call Hashem or the light comes into us and totally breaks our limitations, our physicality, our ego. We're gone. We are totally free. Totally not ourselves. Totally cleansed of all wrong actions. It's a new year, a new total ability to be a new person. This is the Seder. This is drinking the four cups of wine. Each cup represents one of the four letters of the Tetragrammaton, the Yud, the K, the Vav, and the K. There's actually a fifth cup of wine, which is drunk by Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu the prophet, who visits us in each Seder. Most people don't experience that visit. They open the door and to let Eliyahu in, but they're not capable of seeing him. There are some people in this world who could do. They see him enter. They see him sip his wine. The fifth cup, the Keter cup. Try this year to participate in all aspects of the Seder, all the different levels. Drink 4 cups of wine. Eat as much matzah as you can do during the process of the 15 steps of the Seder. The mitzvah is to eat matzah this one night only. The mitzvah is to not eat chametz the other 7 nights of Passover. It's not a mitzvah to eat matzah the other nights. But on this night, it is a mitzvah to eat matzah. To eat matzah with maror, with the bitter herb. To eat matzah with charoset, that special blend of substances, seven fruits and 3 herbs, or seven herbs and 3 fruits, I forget which it is. I think it's 7 fruits and 3 herbs, representing the sfirot, which is why it's produced with 10. Of course, over the centuries, in different parts of the world, charoset has been made in every country of the world, and every country has its own recipe, its own aspect of charoset. There's even a Caribbean charoset made from mango. It doesn't have 10 components, but it's quite delicious. Charoset, that thing that looks like mortar, looks like bricks. The Seder steps. And I'm not doing them in the order because I want you to read the Haggadah to understand more and more each year. I'm not putting it in order of what the steps are. Not tonight. There are 15 steps. In some of the Haggadot, it lists them as 14 steps, because 2 of the steps are combined. And it's a sense of consciousness. If you participate in a Seder of 14 steps, 14 which represents Yad, the hand, your hand, 14 which represents King David, 14 which represents the physical world, you are taking control of the physical world and the battles of that physical world by participating in the Seder. If you participate in the Seder of 15 steps, you are controlling the spiritual levels. You are controlling the upper levels, the upper worlds. The Yud-Keh, which has the gematria of 15. Both Haggadot are kosher, both Haggadot are accurate. And in fact, the consciousness can move from one to the other. I have read 3 or 4 different Haggadot at different Seders, at the same Seder, just to see the differences, because all of these commentaries are accurate and correct. Seder. Samach Dalet Resh. Seder. Samach, which means support. Dalet, which means doorway. Resh, which means head. Rosh, or pour. Open the doorway to support your lack, your poorness, and transform the resh into the rosh, into the head, into the control. We all will participate in a Seder. It is available for all of my students who are in Los Angeles to participate in the two different seders. Why are there two seders? There's only one Paschal sacrifice. There's only one night of the Seder where the light comes for free, where there is no bread of shame, where you are lifted out of your narrowness. But those of us who live in the exile, who live outside of the land of Israel, participate in a second night, a second Seder. We do exactly the same ritual that we did the night before, except for one thing. We begin the counting of the Omer. We begin the We begin the counting, the Sefirat HaOmer. The counting of the Omer is the process by which we earn the light. On Pesach, the light is free. We didn't earn it. Hashem comes in and lifts us out. That light then goes away on the second night, even though we're doing a Seder. It goes away. And step by step, we elevate ourselves, counting the Omer, Sefirat HaOmer, the Sefirot, counting step by step, 49 days. To reach the 50th day, the level of Binah, the level of Shavuot, the level of receiving the Torah. During this period of the Omer, we do not start new things. We do not move to a new home. We'd certainly try not to sign contracts during this period. We do not get married. We do not do new things. Why? Because the energy of this universe is corrupted. This energy is very strong energy. But it's not perfect. It's clearly not the light that gave us freedom on the night of Pesach. It comes back to the universe on Shavuot, 50 days later. And it's up to us to cleanse ourselves during that period of the Omer. Next week we will be talking about the Omer in more detail. So let's return to the Seder and understand a little bit more of the Seder. There are 15 steps in the Seder. There are 42 journeys of the Jewish people, the children of Israel, in the desert. There is a blessing, a prayer, a name of God that has 42 letters. It's called the Ana B'Koach. We say it every class. We hopefully say it every day. Remember how I say the verses of the Ana B'Koach, and at the end of each verse, I read out the six beginning letters of the six words of the Ana B'Koach. In essence, those six letters form a seventh word. Therefore, there are 49 levels in the Anabakoach. It is a good thing to study those 42 verses, to study those 42 journeys, to study those 42 journeys and understand the meaning of those journeys. Why did the Jewish people, the children of Israel, leave one place and go to another? Hashem told us to go, and we went. Hashem accompanied us all of those journeys. Those journeys represent the totality of freedom. Study the 50 verses that speak of the Exodus. Study the 49 journeys. All of this is designed to help you raise yourself step by step into who you are to become. Who do you want to be? What does it mean to be free? What is freedom? What are you being free from? Why do you deserve freedom? Do you want freedom? I started this class by asking you a question. The difference between Exodus and redemption. Exodus is something you initiate. You start changing yourself. You go on the Exodus. You go on the journey, step by step, to freedom. Redemption is when something outside of yourself, Hashem is the name we've given that something. Redemption is when Hashem lifts you out to freedom. Which way would you prefer to go? Do you want to step each step by yourself, grow yourself, become free by yourself, with yourself, by doing the spiritual work? Or do you want to be redeemed by something outside of yourself? Ultimately, free choice is choosing redemption or Exodus. Class is a little short tonight. I want to take the time to go through the calendar. We will have class next Tuesday night. Let's start this week. Wednesday night, we will be giving a class, an advanced class on the mitzvot. We'll be talking about study. We'll be talking about Lasok Batorah, or the study of Torah. Doing of Torah or study of Torah. We'll talk about what that difference is. Thursday night, we will be giving a class in Zohar from the portion of Vayikra. Next Tuesday night, we will again have class in Los Angeles at 255 South Grand, starting at 7:45, and you'll be able to join us with the conference call. The following week is a Seder night. It's the holiday of Pesach. As well as the week after, Both nights are holidays. We will not be having class. Three weeks or 4 weeks from tonight, we will resume our classes in Los Angeles at 255 South Grand. I hope you will join us. Does anybody have any questions before I sign off? Koltu to you all. Please begin your search for Hametz if you have not started. Prepare yourself for freedom. Ultimately, we all must choose to become free on our own, not through redemption, but through Exodus. Shalom.